Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation on the south of Rawthon, Libertyville, Texas. Today is November 28, 2013, August 16, 2017. We will start our sacred service today with a song entitled, His Eyes on the Sparrow. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Yahshua is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I see because I'm happy, because I'm free. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled, His tender thread I hear. And I'm resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fear. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see, His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy, I sing because I'm free. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give praise to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He cares for me. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He cares for me. I sing because I am happy, I sing because I'm free. His eyes on the sparrow, and oh, He watches me.
Hello everyone, once again this is Elijah David. We're going to continue our series now with The Man on the White Horse by the Ben Roden, the joining of the two sticks, and they shall be one in mine hand. Ezekiel 37:19, Zechariah 9:13, and Revelation 6:2. And did you know what? This one in mine hand is in ultimately in the hand of antitypical Elisha. It starts out, Yahshua taking those two sticks himself, and placing them into the hands of antitypical Elijah, to join them together, and commanding Elijah to join these two great kingdoms of Israel and Judah together here in the last days, here in the 12th parabolic hour. That's why these prophecies are unfolding to us. We're going to learn something new also. Again, we're going to have a refresher on these three feeding pastures, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead. In Ecclesiastes 1, 8, 9, and 10, it says, all things are full of labor, and man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with the seeing, nor the ear filled with the hearing. For the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before ours. Verse 11, there is no remembrance of the former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of the things that are to come with those that shall come after. Ecclesiastes 3:15, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and Elohim requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of the judgment, that wickedness is there, and the place of the righteousness, that iniquity was there. And when did judgment begin in our day for the living? It began on the Day of Atonement, September 16, 2002. Okay, it actually started at the Passover 2002. So now, let's go and read Micah. Let's go read about Micah 7. We're going to read about these three feeding pastures. It says, feed thy people with thy rod. Feed them with thy rod. In other words, rod in your hands, the authority for Yahweh's government. Now, feed them with the restored sanctuary truth, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. Okay. So now, when spiritual Israel came back from the Old Testament and from the Dark Ages of the New Testament, 1798, it took 46 years for Israel to be located in the prophecy. And she was located, 36 years after 1798 and 1833 by William Miller, located the 2300-day prophecy was to meet their fulfillment in 1844, and that the little Advent band of Seventh-day Adventists would be waiting for that time to arrive, 1844, to start the judgment of the dead, to be introduced to the three angels' messages, to be introduced to the true cleansing of the sanctuary of Daniel 8:14. That it truly means Yahshua the High Priest coming to the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement and cleansing the sanctuary of past records that have already been investigated up to that point. Okay. So now it says that the spiritual Israel today, Ellen G. White says the Adventist Church is the spiritual Israel of today. She says, so it says, feed the spiritual Israelites on the three feeding pastures. That's Bashan. Bashan is the first feeding pasture in the land of Israel, this side of the Jordan in the land of Israel. Okay. So now, where do these three names for these three feeding pastures show up in the prophecy to form the type? They showed up right here in Micah 7:14, and in Jeremiah 50:19 it says, in a prophecy by the Jeremiah for the latter days, for this 12th hour that we're in now, and I will bring Israel again, meaning in the antitype, during the time of the judgment of the living, unto his habitation, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim, that's Joseph, up in the north, 10 tribes, that's of the house of Joseph. Ephraim is a second-born son of Joseph that got the birthright down in Egypt. Manasseh, the oldest born of Joseph, got the he lost the birthright to Ephraim. So he says, and Gilead. So there's four feeding pastures. Jeremiah says that the house of Israel in these last days has to feed in. And I've always said there's four feeding pastures, but I couldn't find the fourth one listed until now. Jeremiah 50 verse 19. It says, and I will bring Israel again unto his habitation, and he shall feed on Carmel, that's a shepherd's rod, 1930-1970, and Bashan, okay, and Bashan is a Seventh-day Adventist first feeding pasture from 1850 to 1890. That was the allotted time for Bashan. Alright. And his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim. This is the house of Joseph. Okay. That's, and the house of Joseph is in charge of the temple here in the earth. The house of Joseph was not in charge of the temple in the land of Israel, because it was up in the north, over the ten tribes. Judah was in charge of the temple. Judah's in charge of the temple today. But Joseph is in charge of the temple here in the United States over all of the 50 states where the Adventists are located. We'll show you why. So he says, your soul is going to be satisfied upon Mount Carmel, the shepherd rod, Mount Bashan, the Seventh-day Adventist, the three angels' messages. Mount Carmel is your fourth angel's message. Mount Gilead is your fifth angel's message that was introduced by them. Alright? And your soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. So your soul is going to be satisfied to feed in these four feeding pastures this side of the Jordan, spiritual Jordan. Alright? Now, I want to prove to you that the true Hebrew Israelites have already fed in those four feeding pastures. Fulfilling what I just read to you in Ecclesiastes, that which has been is now. And that which has been in the past is required now. Alright? So, Bashan, here in Texas now. All four of these feeding pastures can be found right here in Texas. The Seventh-day Adventist sets up a Texaco conference for Texas in 1916, a year after Ellen G. White passed away, up in the northern part of Texas called the High Plains, up in the Amarillo, Texas area. Geographically, and on Israel's map, that would equate to being of the ten tribes in the north. Texaco Conference of Seventh-day Adventists established their headquarters. A feeding pasture of Bashan, right here in Texas. Okay, so when these prophecies began to make their fulfillment with Elijah David in the 12th hour, lo and behold, we're discovering that Texas has been the geographical location as the spiritual land of antitypical Israel here in the Western Hemisphere. And lo and behold, they have had four feeding pastures designated with these names right here in Texas. Literally. B.T. Holliff identifies Mount Bashan as being the Adventist feeding pasture. Okay. Mount Carmel, as the B.T. Holliff identified that because he's put in charge of that feeding pasture from 1930 to 70. Brother Johnson identified Mount Gilead as being the feeding pasture out in the desert in the wilderness that he was put in charge of in 1970. And lo and behold, Elijah David is put in charge of Mount Ephraim. Because he's the one that joins these two sticks together, and there was one stick that was in the hand of Ephraim of the house of Joseph, that Elijah David was commanded to take that stick and join it with his stick, Judah and Benjamin, that he had in his hand. So Yahshua placed both those sticks in his hand, and he placed Elijah David in charge of the fourth feeding pasture, Mount Ephraim of the north. Now, how do I know that? I have another prophecy right over here in Obadiah. All I got to do is just move forward just a little bit here, or backwards, just a little bit. Pick up this Obadiah and read that to you. It says right here on verse about 17 on, it says, "But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance," that's the house of David, "and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau," that's the house I just got loose from her in Kermit 10 years ago, "gonna be left for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remain of the house of Esau, Mount Gilead." Can you believe that? For the Yahshua has spoken it. "And they of the south, line, representative of the south, line of the tribe of Judah, shall possess the Mount of Esau." Okay. And what's the Mount of Esau? Actually, in the type, it was Mount Ephraim. Because they were the ones that went north, separated from the two tribes of the south, Judah and Benjamin, went north and set up two golden calves, and took the 10 tribes, the 10 tribes agreed to go with them, and the leaders, and to set up, and set them up a temple there in Samaria, and to set them up two golden calves, and have set up a false counterfeit system of worship that the Catholic Church duplicated and copied when they came into power in 538 A.D. "And they of the plain of the Philistines shall," this is read Obadiah verse 19 again, "and they of the south, which is the house of David, shall possess the Mount of Esau, which is of the north." Now you want to know how David ends up getting that stick of Mount Ephraim? Yahshua takes it, places it in his hand, because it is actually the housing place for Mount Esau. And where did I get that stick from? Kermit, Texas, where the house of Esau was presiding over the temple at Gilead Center. "And they of the plain, Philistines," so, "and they of the south shall possess the Mount of Esau, and they of the plain, the Philistines." So we're going to possess, of the plains, we're going to possess the Philistines. Who are they? Well, that's your antitypical descendants of Ishmael. And also would have to be then antitypical descendants of Esau. Because Esau is, spiritually speaking, spiritually speaking, is the descendant of Ishmael. Born of the flesh, never to be born a second time of the spirit. "And they have the plain of Philistine, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, all of their spoils, all of their churches, all of their publishing houses, whatever they got, and the fields of Samaria are going to possess them too." That's the capital headquarters of the 10 tribes. "And Benjamin shall possess Gilead here in the south." So we wonder why Benjamin, one of the numbered of the 10 tribes, why he remained down the south to be connected up to Judah, because he's possessed Mount Gilead, where Judah was, that was her last feeding pasture, from 1970 to 2003. So after that particular time is up for Mount Gilead, then who possesses it? Not Judah. Benjamin possesses it. That's his lot. Because, you see, Gilead was left behind in the desert once he took out a rape sheaf offering out of it. Okay. So it says in Obadiah 1 verse 20, "And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites," that's your antitypical Philistine, or of Palestinians, "even under Zarephath, and the captivity of the Jerusalem which is in the Sepharad shall possess the cities of the south, and saviors with 144,000 of the house of David shall come upon the Mount Zion at the 11th hour, Gilead, to judge the Mount of Esau." So where was Mount Esau set up at in the Mount Zion at the 11th hour at Gilead Center. Third feeding pasture for Israel, this full crossing over the Jordan, the spiritual Jordan, and the kingdom shall be the Yahshua's. Now in Genesis 49:22 it says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Okay, now, Joseph's branches run over the wall, and they reached all the way to the Western Hemisphere. They reached all the way to Texas. That's why we have the fulfillment of these prophecies here in Texas in the latter days. Joseph reached all the way over into our time with the prophecy, down to our time. And so now we have a repeat of the three feeding pastures of the Israel and the Tot, and they show up in the prophecy here in Texas. And the Antitype, literally, with a literal geographical location, duplicating the blueprint as it's set up in the type in Israel. So, having said all that, let us now go back to our reading here in the Man on the White Horse. We're on page 7. It says, for the Apostle Paul said, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by the nature, and wert grafted contrary unto nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in the part has happened unto Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, when did this blindness in part happen unto Israel? It happened unto spiritual Israel. Who did it happen unto? It happened unto Gilead's sinner. Wasn't any need to make blindness in part happen unto the shepherd's rod, for they were in the 10th parabolic hour. It has to happen unto that last generation leading up to the judgment of the living, and that was Mount Zion at the 11th hour. Blindness in part had to happen unto them. But they had forward vision. They had the sanctuary restored. They had the seven eyes that was put upon one stone in Zechariah 3, that is perfect vision behind and present and future. They had the seven eyes of Yahweh given to her. But she still had blindness in part, because she was of the house of Esau, without Yahweh's spiritual anointing and blessing to carry on and be the progenitor of the righteous line of the house of Israel. So it says, blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. When the fullness of the Gentiles be come in? When the 144,000 comes forth of the first fruits, then it's time to bring in the fullness of the Gentiles, their brethren, after that. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. So all Israel shall be saved. Now, as it is written, there shall come out of Sion, S-I-O-N now, the deliverer. Who was the one that was sent out of Sion to be in the first time for the first deliverance of Israel? David. Okay. So when you say Sion, S-I-O-N, that's the way they spelt Mount Zion in the south of Saudi Arabia when they came out of Egypt and they came to Sinai. Okay. And shall turn away unrighteousness from Jacob. Who is the unrighteousness that is connected unto Jacob? Mount Zion at the 11th hour. That was your unrighteousness that was connected unto Jacob, which was the house of Esau. That was the unrighteousness of Jacob at Gilead Center. Was the house of Esau was connected to the house of Jacob, which is translates as the house of David. The two were joined together down there for 33 years. And for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Whose sin? The house of Jacob. those of the house of Jacob, not the house of Esau, because they didn't get theirs taken away, as we read there in Obadiah a while ago. As concerning the gospel, now what does it mean, as concerning the gospel? It means as concerning the blood of the Yahshua, as concerning his blood, and for his redemption for you, they are enemies for your sakes. This is how you translate when you read this word gospel. Just read, as concerning the blood of Yahshua. Just put that in the place of gospel. That's where the life is at. That's where your redemption is at. That's where everything is at. For they are the enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are the beloved for the Father's sake. So, for our sakes, he says that they are connected, disconnected from the house from your house of Jacob, for your sake. Okay. But for the Father's sake, it's a different story. Romans 11:24-28. We become beloved for the Father's sake after we're disconnected from the house of Esau. Here it is shown that the Jews are to be grafted back into their own olive tree. Who is this? The 144,000. Where were they at that they had to be grafted into back into their own olive tree? They were in the house of Esau as captives. House of David delivered them. Okay. So now they're grafted back in now to the true stalk, David coming from the stalk of Jesse, okay, which is the true stalk. And we can go read about that prophecy there in Job chapter 14. That won't be hard to do. It says in Job 14, there's hope the tree will be cut down, that the tender branch will not cease. So let's go read it. Let's start with verse 7. It says, for there is a hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch there will not see. Okay, what tree was that? Okay, there was a tree that sprouted at Gilead Center in 1970. Okay. Well, that tree was cut down. 2002. Planed off. Okay, you can cut down a tree, but you can cut it down without rooting up the roots. Just cut it down on top of the ground. Okay. But the root system can sprout again. Alright. That root system happened to be founded in the five angels' messages, not just the tree, but the five angels. In this case, because that tree sprouted again in 2002. After that tree that represented Mount Zion's 11th hour, Gilead Center was cut out. Though the root thereof waxed old in the earth. Okay. So that root started with the Adventists in 1844. By 2002, it had waxed old in the earth. So the last branch of that root was Gilead Center, and it was cut out. And the stalk thereof died around. Yet through the scent of water, it will bud. What water? The water of the river of Ezekiel 47. That comes trickling out of the sanctuary, out of the altar, representing present truth for the healing of the people first of the court, the temple, those that makes up the temple, the 144,000, and then it goes and from there it goes and becomes a trickles outside the sanctuary, goes down into, makes a little rivulet that turns into a river, and then goes into the great sea. Okay, so through the scent of water, this little tree, root that had been, with the stalk cut down, it had the scent of the Ezekiel 47 river. Okay, so there's hope now of this tree, of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because she had to be cut down, and the tender branch sprout from the root. Now what happens when the tender branch sprouts from the root? Then it develops its own root system. And then that old root system dies in the earth forever. And that's your Adventist church today. Once that new root system takes root of house of David, 12th hour, then the old root system forever decayeth and rotteth away. That's what it's doing right now. So it says, now as we get back to our reading of Mount, here about the Mount of High Horse, Brother Benjamin Roden, it says, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away unrighteousness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them. Now Yahshua is this Deliverer, no doubt. When I shall take away their sins, he's the only one to take away your sins by his blood. As concerning the blood of Yahshua, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Why are they beloved? Because this is his right arm that he has chosen to deliver the world by. And not only that, but to perform the resurrection through these people. And to bring in all righteousness. And to cause righteousness to spread forth over all the nations in the world. The key to opening up this door is the purification of the first fruits, the waste sheaf offering, and then the first fruits 144,000. And then purifying their brethren. This is the hope of the world. Because once you get all of Yahweh's preordained people purified and sanctified and with seals on, then you have the privilege to make them judges. And then as they go forth judging, they destroy those wicked that they have judged. After they've judged them, then they can destroy them off the face of the earth. Here it is shown that the Jews are to be grafted back into their own olive tree. What Jews? The 144,000. Okay. And what is their olive tree? Their own olive tree? That's the olive tree that represents the New Testament. That's the one on the right side, that golden bowl in Zechariah 4. You have an olive tree on the left side that represents the Old Testament. Okay. There are only the olive tree today that's operating. As a matter of fact, both olive trees are operating today. The Old and New Testament are both operating. It says so there in that prophecy in the parable of Revelation 11 about the two witnesses. They represent the Old and New Testament scriptures. For the time has come when the Jews are to be given light. For the Yahweh wants us to encourage and sustain men who will labor in the right lines for this people. For there are to be a multitude convinced of the truth, who will take their position for the other hand. For the time is coming when there will be as many converted in a day as there were on the day of the Pentecost. That is after the disciples had received the gift of the Yahweh's outpouring of His Spirit and power on the day of the Pentecost. For it has been a strange thing unto me that there are so few who are with the feeling of a burden for the laboring for the Jewish people. For the memory will be awakened as the Yahshua is seen portrayed in the pages of the Old Testament. Okay. For many souls will be saved from the Jewish nation as the doors of the New Testament are unlocked with the key of the Old Testament. For Yahshua will be recognized as the Savior of the world, as it is seen how clearly the New Testament explains of the Old. For the many of the Jewish people will by the faith receive Yahshua as a Redeemer in the last and parabolic hour of Earth's history, in the 12th hour. For the converted Jews in the closing work, there will be many converted from among the Jews. And these converts will aid in the preparing of the way of the Yahshua and making straight in the desert a highway for Elohim. Well, it says that antitypical Elijah is the one that makes straight the way of the Yahshua. He's the one to introduce it. For the converted Jews are to have an important part for the acting in the great preparation to be made in the future for the receiving of Yeshua, our Prince. A nation shall be born in a day. A nation, what nation is that? That's the purified nation of Israel. How? By a man whom Elohim has appointed, being converted unto the truth, for there will be seen first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear, for the predictions of the prophecy will be fulfilled. Manuscript 75, 1905 Evangelism, 578 and 579. And a lot of these statements from the inspiration by the Ellen G. White, let us continue for the pursuing of the Holy Writ for the more light on their subject. Speaking unto the Jews, Yahshua said, gather yourself together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, Zephaniah 2:1. For the Jewish people are the one nation that is not desired by all nations. Here, the Yahshua tells them to gather together. Where at? Ben Roden says, in Palestine, of course. Well, now, the scriptures didn't say that. They just said a nation not desired. Well, we find out in prophecy that there's a nation of Israel here in Texas that's not desired. So I'm going to upgrade that to gather the nation not desired. No doubt will be gathered by prophecy here into Texas. Before the decree brings forth. What decree? Now keep in mind your key word is decree. Before the decree to make an image to the beast, which has already been made up by starting with George Bush and Obama, now is putting the finishing touches on this image to the beast. And now he's in the process. He's already made a decree through his Obamacare by issuing a number that everyone should take this number and come in under his Obamacare with a number. And in that number is a death decree. And Roy read on the news where it says people are already dying from having come under this Obamacare and his health care program. They're already dying. So it says, before the decree brings forth. Now, the decree has already been ordered. But before it brings forth, well, when did Nebuchadnezzar bring forth his decree? After he got that image built. After he got it all set up. Then he sent out a cry for all nations to come and help celebrate the dedication of this image that he had made to himself and his nation in Babylon. But the people didn't know that they were coming to a dedication and they were going to be forced to take the mark of the beast, of that image of the beast that Nebuchadnezzar set up. And they had to show that they had received this mark by bowing down to it at the command of the sentinel that was commanded to blow the trumpet. And everyone got to bow down to it. This showed that they had agreed to take the mark of the beast that Nebuchadnezzar has set up in the typical first decree. So now it says, gather yourselves together, O nation not desired. Where are they going to gather? They're going to gather here in Texas. Before the decree at Babylon goes forth in Washington, D.C. Before it is put into final law and you are commanded to come up. And you're going to be commanded to come up to Washington, D.C., all nations, and bow down to that image there at Washington, D.C., just like Nebuchadnezzar did. He sent out posts, and he said, go out and invite them to come in. Compel them to come in, all people of all nations, of all the provinces of Babylon, to come into this dedication. Well, that's what Obama's going to do. Once he gets it all set up in place, he's going to command all nations. They're going to get in their airplanes and they're going to fly from all nations all over the world. They're going to come to Washington, D.C. And he's going to command all states where they're at he's going to command their representatives to take account and to see if he can't pass a law that his state will agree to take this number of this beast and all of its inhabitants. So they're going to do it that way here in the United States. So it says, before the decree brings forth, before the day pass, as the chaff. Okay, meaning you have a harvest time. When you have chaff, it means you have just harvested grain. And the chaff is a thing that is blown away by the wind after you get the grain out of it. Before the fierce anger of the Yahshua come upon you. So you better come to that harvest. Because if you don't come to that harvest, then the fierce anger of Yahshua is going to come upon you, along with all the inhabitants of Babylon, the ones that you had agreed to bow down to that beast with. Before the day of the Yahshua's anger come upon you, seek you the Yahshua, all ye meek of the earth. Go to Matthew 5 now. Read about what Yahshua said to those people on the Sermon on the Mount. That's the Sermon on the Mount. For the meek shall inherit the earth. Okay. Which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Yahshua's anger. Oh, boy. You better seek all of this. And ensure that when that day is coming, his anger, that day of his anger is coming. It's going to come upon all the heathen and all those that have joined ranks with them. All those that haven't sought meekness and righteousness and judgment, his anger is going to come upon them. That's Zephaniah 2:2-3. For the Jews have become a nation in the fulfillment of the Elohim's commanding prophecy. Here we see that the command is for the nation, not desired. What is this? This is Yahshua's nation. It's the nation of the kingdom of heaven that he is put in charge with of the house of David. So he's telling this nation to be gathered together unto him here in these last days. So here we see that the command is for the nation not desired to gather together before a certain decree. What certain decree? Nebuchadnezzar in the time made a certain decree. And did you know Nebuchadnezzar could not make that decree if first he hadn't built an image to himself to be worshipped? And he wouldn't have built that image if he didn't have Daniel to come into his place and interpret a dream that he couldn't even recall. But he was troubled in the spirit that he had this dream and he couldn't recall it at all. So Daniel, the righteous prophet, representative of heaven, comes in and interprets it to King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And because King Nebuchadnezzar didn't like the outcome of the interpretation of what it really meant, it simply meant that his kingdom, Babylon, was only going to be temporal. And that he was going to have three other kingdoms going to succeed him right in a row. And that was the Medes and the Persians, number two. Number three would be Alexander the Great, the Greeks. And number three would be pagan Rome. He didn't like that idea. So he says, I'll tell you what, I'll make an image to that image that Daniel interpreted unto me. I'll make an image to that myself, but I'll plate it all in gold, showing that my kingdom is going to stand forever because it's represented by a image of gold. Gold is enduring forever. That's a symbol. So it says, here we see that the command is for the nation not desired to gather together before a certain decree. The antithetical image of the beast decree is made again. It goes forth. It is brought forth. They, as well as all the meek of the earth, are to seek the Yahshua by the seeking righteousness and meekness. It may be that we shall be hid in the day of the Yahshua's anger. So it's not only the... It says, they as well as the meek of the earth are to seek the Yeshua. Okay. We are now better able to understand Elohim's plan for the joining of the two sticks. Okay. Here it is plainly seen that the Jews are the first to be gathered into their home, land, and made one nation. Then the gathering of the ten tribes will be accomplished. Thus is fulfilled the Yahshua's promise unto Abraham, Genesis 13, 14, and 15. Okay, when I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man, and the Yahshua shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as a lightning, and the Yahshua, Messiah, shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with the whirlwinds of the south. Whirlwinds of the south? Zechariah 9, 13, and 14. After the stick of the Judah is bent, it is then a bow. Then the Ephraim, representing the ten tribes, as an arrow goeth forth as a lightning and a loud cry. So Ephraim is the house of Joseph. Okay. So Joseph is then going to be in charge of this message going forth in the loud cry. The house of Joseph. Let the string on the stick of Judah represent the tents of Judah, or the humble Seventh-day Adventist Davidians and branches who pull together toward the Yahshua, and the Jews will see this victory over the Satan's dividing power, and thus they will be bent toward the Yahshua Messiah, their Savior, for this symbolism of the Elohim's elect, as a bow and arrow, is stronger than words can tell. Okay, the bow represents Yahshua's church. The arrows are his weapons. For John, the Revelator, had a vision of this work, and he explained it in the following manner in the first seal. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6, 2. Let this symbolism of a man on a white horse with a crown and with a bow in his hand represent the first man, Adam, and the bow in the hand with which to conquer represent Eve in the Garden of Eden. Here is a symbol of the pure congregation before sin entered. On the other hand, let the same symbolism of the last man, Adam, Yahshua, 1 Corinthians 15, 22, 45, on a white horse with a crown and a bow in his hand, represent the Yahshua's pure congregation, while denoting purity, restoring unto this land that is become like the Garden of Eden, Ezekiel 36, 35. For this symbolism represents Elohim's pure congregation in the time of the judgment of the living in the world, for the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message. However, for the judgment for the living must first take place in the Elohim's congregation, the SDA, to make her pure. For the tares in her midst must be bundled and the wheat put into the barn. That's the end of Yahweh's kingdom, that is Matthew 13:30. For that part of the investigative judgment of the living, by which is determined who are to have their sins blotted out, and as a result be given eternal life, is paralleled on the earth by the work of the angel with the writer's inkhorn, who is charged to mark or the seal everyone who sighs and cries for all the abomination in the church and Judah and Israel, the congregation, and the work of the five others who follow on to slay all who have not the mark seal is paralleled in the heaven by the blotting out of the sinner's name from the book of the life. 2 Answer Book 41:2. purification of the congregation. We have been inclined to think that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true Christians. But this is not the case. For the Elohim has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. For the Elohim has never made the flock wholly dependent upon the human instrumentality, but the days of purification of the congregation are hastening on apace. For the Yahweh Elohim will have a people, pure and true, and a mighty sifting soon to take place. We shall be better able for the measuring of the strength of the Israel, for the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahshua will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. That's taken from Five Testimonies, page 80, by the Ellen G. White. While the investigative judgment is going forward in the heaven, Ezekiel 9, for the judgment of the living, while the sins of the penitent believers are being removed from the sanctuary, and their names retained in the Lamb's Book of Life in the sanctuary, there is to be a special work of the purification of the putting away of the sins among the Elohim's people up on the earth. Yahweh's people up on the earth here in the United States. For this work is more clearly presented in the messages of the Revelation 14, Great Controversy 42, 5, and 1. Okay, now, Jeff White, you're wondering about this, Alan, I know. You're wondering, well, what about us? We've been following Gilead Center for a long time. Yes, but while we were making the transition in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, to close out the Judgment of the Dead and Judgment of the Living, you were still residing with Brother W. Johnson, not knowing what was going on with us in at Kermit, Texas in 2002. You didn't know about the change of the guard. You didn't know about the transition. You didn't know about Yahshua coming there, taking the reins in his own hands, and bringing forth a wave sheaf offering, and doing a special work of purifying the camp of Gilead Center. Even though you were a part of Gilead Center. So, Yahweh is telling me that he's kept you up to date, though, with Gilead Center as being a true follower of the truth. Because you come out on with us as soon as you found out what took place, you stepped out on and came up with us. So, therefore, you are credited with righteousness by faith and believing in the truth, period. So, therefore, when we have a special work done here in the United States, it's also a special work for you folks in Africa to share with your people. Further continuing with our article, we're going to finish by saying this last statement. For this work is more clearly presented in the message of Revelation 14. And Ellen G. White points this out in Great Controversy, page 425. Clad in the armor of the Yahshua's righteousness, the congregation is to enter upon her final conflict. Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with the banner. She is to go forth into all the world, conquering and to conquer. Patriarchs and Proverbs, page 725. And the Yahshua shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as a lightning, and the Yahshua Messiah shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with the whirlwinds of the south, Zechariah 9:14. For these words of the inspiration tell of the most wonderful story ever spoken by the human lips, for the story of the Yahweh's pure congregation soon to be disclosed unto the view. Therefore, brother, sister, and young people, let this mind be in you, which is also in the Yahshua Messiah, Philippians 2:5. That your hearts and your minds may be purified with the most wonderful promises ever beheld. For there is nothing here to lose and everything to be gained. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by thee? Say unto them, thus saith the Yahshua Messiah, behold, I will take the stick of the Joseph, which is in the hand of the Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with them, with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand, and the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. Ezekiel 37:18-20. For the two sticks are joined, and are as the one stick in Ezekiel's hand, which translates into Elijah David's hand today, because he's the present tense sermon, servant that's receiving of this prophecy. So he says, for these two sticks are joined and are as one stick in the Elijah David's hand and the plain sight before their eyes. Well, making this prophecy clear right now before your eyes, this is exactly where this translates. That's how this is translated. If it's being made clear before your eyes in the prophecy, well, then these two sticks are being joined together here in this 12th periodic hour. And matter of fact, it's already a done deal as far as you're concerned, if you understand this prophecy at this time. And say unto them, thus saith the Yahshua Messiah, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side. Now, who are these heathen? It's these terrors that are in the Adventist church. Where have they been gone? They've gone all over the world. So it says, going to gather them where? Going together to take the children from among the heathen, the Adventists, wherever they be gone to, in all the world, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Ezekiel 37:21-22. For the meaning of this symbolism is that the Yahweh Elohim will gather the 12 tribes of Israel from among the heathen nation. Well, the only place he can get them from the heathen nation would be from those churches of the Adventist church in all these different nations. For us, where the 144,000 are at. So if he has to go to all these nations, to all the Adventist churches in all these nations, to get a remnant that represents the 12 tribes of Israel, then that's where the prophecy will be fulfilled at then. So it says, for the meaning of this symbolism is that the Elohim will gather the 12 tribes of Israel from among the heathen nations, wherever he has the presence of the house of Israel there in the form of the Seventh Adventist, and will bring them into their own land. Okay, where's your own land? Well, the United States is your own land. Where are the Adventists located here in the United States? In all 50 states. So if they have a state called Washington, D.C., or Washington State, or Oregon State, or California, or Texas, well, then that's where they're from. Okay. In that day, to be no longer two divided and scattered nations among the wicked nations, but rather are to be one nation, and one king is to rule over them. That's answer for Elijah David. Some may contend that this scripture was fulfilled at the gathering of the Jews from the ancient Babylon. However, the scripture reads, for they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. And you know what? These two kingdoms are going to be put right back together, and they already have been put right back together in the prophecy right here in, actually in Kermit, Texas. 2002. That's where they were put back together. Between Passover and Atonement, those two sticks were put back together and put because they were seen in the hands of Elijah David. Surely, anyone can see this prophecy has not been fulfilled, no, in the 10th parabolic hour, naturally, or in the 11th parabolic hour. Only in the 12th can it be fulfilled. Therefore, the Yahshua counsel, turn, O backsliding children. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Mount Zion at the 11th hour, the last one that was to bring forth this here 144,000 as the purified harvest that the Adventist church produced, saith to Yahshua, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family. Well, he took me one of a city, and he took two others with me that were of an individual family, and I will bring you unto Zion. What? Mount Zion at the 12th hour. and I will give you pastors according to mine heart. There you are, Jeremiah 23. Okay. Which shall feed you with the knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 3:14-15. This brings us to the study of our contact. This is the 11th hour calling us. Never let us click on all your archives. How beautiful heaven must be. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. His truth and God's word he hath given. A beautiful heaven must be. A beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. A haven of rest for the weary. A beautiful heaven must be. Pure waters of life they are flowing, and all new drink may be free. Where jewels of splendor are glowing, a beautiful heaven must be. A beautiful heaven must be. Free form of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. A beautiful heaven must be. The angels so sweetly are singing, up there by the beautiful sea. Sweet chords from the gold harps are ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet form of the happy and free. And haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.